Hey guys, and welcome to the Abundance Alchemist Podcast. I'm Caitlin Dorsey, an abundance alchemist, animal lover, trauma survivor to thriver, mindset expert, self-love junkie, and author. This is the place to be to grab those powerful tools, ideas, and inspiration to make lasting changes in yourself and your life. No more waiting, my friends, because it's time to show up unapologetically, radiate that confidence, and create a life you absolutely love. Time to buckle up and dive on in. Hello, my high-vibing friends. As always, I'm so excited that you are here with me on the Abundance Alchemist Podcast. We are going to dive in deep today to getting out of the feelings of being stuck and feeling overwhelmed and burnout. You know, the truth is that as humans, we don't like to feel unwanted emotions, right? And a lot of times we do. We feel stuck, we get overwhelmed, anxiety, burnout, depression, fear, anger, irritation, and there's so many more, right? I could go on and on for a lot of things that we do experience that we don't necessarily want to, because we are really complex beings. So the purpose of this episode is to shift out of these emotions and understand, first and foremost, why it's really happening to us and why we're feeling these emotions, and then also how we can let go of these patterns, because that's what they are, right? And then in turn, we're going to learn how to increase those happy emotions that we do want to feel. So get ready to say goodbye to that overwhelm, feeling stuck, unworthy, and burnout, and say hello to self-love, happiness, and connection. So let's start by first understanding why we feel stuck in our emotions in general. So as I mentioned, we have a lot of these patterns. Our minds learn patterns. We're really creatures of habit, and we hear that a lot. And there's, you know, so much debate on how long it actually takes to create a habit or break a habit. Some of the newer research, well, let's start with some of the older research. It was normally like 21 days to create a habit and maybe 90 to break a habit. They have done more updated research, and it shows that it can really range from both creating a habit and breaking a habit anywhere from 80 to 254 days. And then there's also studies that say it can be up to 18 months. So we learn these habits and we learn how to react and what emotions feel comfortable. And when I say comfortable, I do not mean that you truly want to feel these emotions, but rather that your body is so used to these that we go back to that. So your subconscious mind, and I said this in the very first episode, will always get you as far as it's gotten you before, but it likes to keep you small. It likes to play small because then it feels like it's keeping you safe. Remember that a lot of the things that happen in the mind are really these kind of reptilian places that we go to, that fight, flight, freeze, that safety mode, keeping you safe. So your brain thinks that to keep you safe means to keep you small. And by keeping you small, it means that it reverts to patterns. It reverts to how we've learned. So again, it goes back to what is comfortable. And this is where, you know, we hear on more of the science piece of things of your brain is reacting by going through the same neural pathways, right? We're not creating new neural pathways. And so we're just creating these deeper rivets in our brain of the same neural pathways. And this is really, really tough because it's hard to be in the discomfort, right? That's what the whole episode is about, is being that in that discomfort, feeling emotions we don't want to feel. Unfortunately, we are humans. We are going to feel some unwanted emotions. But where the power comes is really how long we stay in that and what we do with that. Because this is important, because if we are constantly just going back to these patterns, we're really in a state of autopilot, right? We're just reacting. We're going through life based on our reactions. And this is troublesome because if we're just reacting, then we're having the same thoughts. We're having those ruminating thought patterns, which we talked about. Our thoughts tell our physical body how to react and create an emotional response. So if we have a thought that we're overwhelmed or anxious, the chemicals are released in our body that go with those emotions, and we experience that emotion. And then again, that becomes a pattern we repeat. When you have that thought of, oh, I'm anxious, it just kind of is like a snap. It triggers, okay, that's the hormone that goes along with it. This is what I release. This is what the body's going to do. And even though it feels uncomfortable, we know that the subconscious mind is going to keep us playing safe. So there are arguments, which I did bring up in the first episode, of which comes first, the thought or the emotion. And that's really in the cognitive behavioral therapy and the dialectic behavioral therapy, which again is more that psychology traditional approach. But either way, we have the power to change it. And that's the important part, is don't get bogged down in which comes first or exactly, you know, like what your feeling, we want to be paying attention to the feeling, but not get bogged down in how much of the feeling we're paying attention to, or how much of the feeling, or how much of the time we're in that feeling, and so on. So we have a choice. We have a choice to think about how we feel, and we have a choice to think and change our thoughts. We have to take responsibility for our lives. And I know that with some of my clients in the past, I've faced some frustration when I've said this before, because we've all heard the stories of people that have trauma, and you know, there's a lot of things that go back and forth about equal opportunity. And that's not at all what this episode is about. This is really on an individualistic level. This is not giving yourself any sort of excuse. And that's what I'm going to call it. And I know that that can be upsetting to some people if I say, and it's an excuse, but it is. We do not create abundance. We create the blocks that we put inside of, or in front of, our abundance, right? I don't like that people can say, oh, well, I had this happen, so I can't do this, or this is in my way, so I don't have the opportunity to do this. There may not be equal opportunity, 100% understand that, but we're still all able to persevere and to get to where we want. I'm a strong believer you can have anything you want. And I want to talk about this because we do hear those stories, right? We hear those stories about people that are coming from really trying backgrounds, or people with trauma and who are really struggling. And it's not to minimize that in any way, but what's the difference here? Because there's people that have gone through trauma and terrible things, and we will never undermine that, but they have come out to be incredible, successful people, right? And then we have people that go through something else and they don't, right? And there's not that they're not amazing people, but maybe they don't achieve their goals, or they allow their blocks to keep them playing small. And the difference here is the thought and the emotion. That's it. There's no other difference here is besides the thought and the emotion that person had, because how we think and how we feel is how we move forward. It's what creates our actions. I mean, people can face adversity, but what matters is that they keep pushing forward and keep trying. They don't let someone else take that power away from them and say, oh no, you can't do this because, right? We've all faced that. But think of like Bill Gates, his first business failed. J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter, she was homeless while she was writing Harry Potter. Oprah was molested when she was 14 and gave birth to a child that passed away. You don't hear about a lot of these things unless you're really doing the research about it, right? But those are significant things in their lives. I mean, being molested, having a child pass away, grief, loss, being homeless, having your first business fail, those are huge obstacles. And it would have been really easy for them to listen to that subconscious mind and to play small. But those obstacles were not too big in their thoughts for them. It's our thoughts and perception that keep us small and stuck, right? It's our thoughts and perceptions that say, you know what, that person's right, I can't move forward. Or you know what, this happened to me, and that's like, I can't move on. And this is where it keeps us stuck in that, those unwanted emotions. That's what keeps us stuck in the overwhelm, the burnout, the frustration, the anxiety, the anger, the irritation. And it's also the most important takeaway of this episode, because we should be in discomfort to grow. And what really, really matters is that a person will not change. Let's look at the basic human psychology principle of this. A person will not change until the discomfort of staying the same is more than the discomfort, or is less than the discomfort of changing, right? So let me say that again, because I kind of muffled it, right? So the basic human psychology principle is that a person will not change until the discomfort of staying the same is more uncomfortable than the discomfort someone will feel to change. We have to be so uncomfortable with the fact that we will stay in the same place we are and nothing will change, so that we can push ourselves and get into this place of where we are moving towards our goals and we are changing. And I want to touch really quick before we dive into this a little bit more about motivation, because a lot of people will say, oh, you have to have the motivation. Motivation is fleeting. There is not going to be motivation all the time. I can tell you so many times there's motivation. There's not motivation in my life. Sometimes when I have to do homework, or when I have to, take a continuing education class, or, you know, even to post on my social media. As much as I love engaging with all of my listeners and my amazing clients and everything, I'm also a human, right? Those feelings of kind of resistance sometimes come up of like, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed, or, you know, I really just want to sit on the couch and veg, right? That motivation is fleeting. So don't count on the motivation to be there all the time when you're trying to move forward. It's really paying attention to what is the discomfort and how can you use that discomfort to empower yourself to move forward, right? And then you remind yourself of that discomfort when you have this lack of motivation. So what do we do? How do we move forward when we're in this place of feeling overwhelmed, stuck, anxious, irritable, all these different things, right? How do we move forward? We change our thoughts. We change the internal environment to create the external reality. We take responsibility for our lives, for our thoughts, and our emotions, and our actions. And when I say that we change the internal environment to create the external reality, real quick tip and trick, if you're trying to change your external reality, but you're not doing the work on the inside, nothing is going to change. We talked a little bit earlier about this idea of, you know, how many of us have gotten to that place of where we achieve something and we don't really enjoy it. And that's because you're doing the external process, external actions, but you might just be like moving through life. You're not necessarily like present in it. So you have to change the internal environment, change the processes so that when you do get to that goal of the external environment, you are enjoying it. You're happy. You're celebrating that daily win, right? Going back to that idea of really being fully present. So I know this can be really scary because, you know, taking responsibility for all of what we're doing can be hard because we're our own worst critic. We can look at it and be like, oh my gosh, okay, I'm not moving forward in my career. That's my fault. Oof, that's tough. Or I'm not losing weight like I want to, or I'm not gaining weight like I want to, or I'm not exercising regularly like I want to, or I'm not meditating regularly like I want to. Like, we can do this with anything. And it goes to that place of where we beat ourselves up, right? We're like, oh my gosh, it's my fault. And that's hard to look at because, as again, that idea of taking that responsibility can increase because it can be an unwanted emotion. It can be this sense of defeat. It can be, you know, really being tough on yourself, but it's also super empowering because it means that we can change the current reality. So next time you're in those emotions, I want you to give yourself permission to take a step back. And what that looks like is literally just that. Take a step away. I mean, like, I'm actually saying physically do this and give yourself space to reset. Some beautiful ways to do this are box breathing, progressive muscle relaxation, dragon breath. And I kind of want to just give you like a really quick rundown of like what these do. And you can get, I have a conscious breathing meditation, MP3, and I'll put the link in the episode notes for it. It's super helpful because it actually brings you through all three of those that I just talked about. And I'm going to explain what they do too, so that you know why they're important. Because first of all, if we don't give ourselves a break and give ourselves that place to step back and reset, we're going to be in that reaction space. And then again, like I said, the internal reality is not changing. So we're not changing anything. And we're still just coasting. We're still on that autopilot piece. So let's start with box breathing. Box breathing is literally exactly what it sounds like. And this is a really powerful tool that they use in kind of modern day psychology and counseling skills. So what you do is you're going to literally trace a box in your brain. And so you're going to count with your breath. So it's going to be breathing in 1, 2, 3, 4, holding for 1, 2, 3, 4, breathing out 1, 2, 3, 4, holding 1, 2, 3, 4. And you can see how I literally trace drawing a box while counting. And I would also be breathing while I'm doing this. So I'd be counting silently to myself, following the breath. And I lead you through this so you don't have to actually be counting, but you can follow me as I count in that MP3. So there's that one. And box breathing, the goal is to get to 8 on each side. And often I start with 4 just because I think it's a little bit easier because it's a different way of breathing. So we kind of have to train our mind. If you're not picking up on the main vibe so far, we have to help our mind change. We have to help create new neural pathways. So once you're doing that, you want to do this 10 times, like create and draw that box 10 times. When you do this, it's so incredibly powerful. And I'm going to tell you first kind of the conscious reason. So first of all, you're occupying your conscious mind. Your mind cannot have two thoughts simultaneously. They can bounce back and forth like really, really quickly, which seems or may appear that you're having two thoughts at the same time, but it's physically impossible. Your brain cannot focus 100% on two thoughts at the same time. So if you're consciously occupying your mind by counting the box breathing, you're getting out of that ruminating thought pattern. You're getting out of those negative self-talk or whatever thought is holding you down. So if you're thinking, oh, I'm so stressed out, and you say, no, hold on, take a step back, do some box breathing, that thought of I'm stressed can't be fully present anymore. There's an interruption happening. The next piece that's happening is you're going within your body. You're feeling into your body. You're refocusing on coming inside instead of the external environment. And what did I say? We only have the ability to change the internal environment, not the external. So again, coming back to that place of where we can be creating and really, really being powerful. And then the third and honestly, probably most powerful thing about box breathing is that it resets your physical body. And what I mean by that is it actually tells your brain, hey, I don't need to be releasing that stress hormone of cortisol. I'm actually calming down. So it rewires your brain. And it also is telling your body, I don't need to have that stress hormone in my body right now. So think about how powerful that is. When you take a step back, you're occupying your conscious mind, stepping back into your body and inside your internal environment, which is where we create. And then you're actually changing the body chemistry within your body. Like, how incredibly powerful is that? If you could do that, and it doesn't take super long, right? I mean, maybe it takes like 2 minutes. You can step away from a meeting for 2 minutes and just reset, and then you're not in a reaction place. So that's the first one. The next one I will tell you is progressive muscle relaxation. So this one is, again, something used in more the traditional society or psychology approach, but so incredibly powerful, even on a spiritual level and just all our levels of functioning. Because when we do something, the things that make lasting changes, my friends, are when we're doing something that takes care of our functioning on every level of our being. We have to occupy the conscious mind. We have to get into that subconscious. We have to be working with our physical body. We have to be working on the energy, the spiritual piece of ourselves, right? There's so many aspects of ourselves, and I can't say that we're complex beings enough. So progressive muscle relaxation is where you are tensing different aspects of your body, and it's guided, and you tense and hold for 4 seconds, and then you release for 40 seconds in between. And you're really breathing during that releasing period. And what this does is, again, it occupies that conscious mind because you're bringing your attention to your body of where you're tensing and making the tension. And then you're actually showing your body how to release that tension. How many of you guys have so much discomfort in your neck or your back or your shoulders or your hips or your ankles or knees, whatever it is? If you work on tensing these places and then releasing, your brain actually is like, oh my gosh, I know how to release this tension. So then we're not having to store all of this, right? Because this is a great way to process some emotions out, allow that stuck energy to move. We will definitely dive into a future episode about if you're not processing your emotions out, they have to manifest physically in your body somewhere. And this is a lot of time where health issues come from and all these different things. And I won't dive into it too much here, but just pay attention to that. Pay attention to where your body is holding that tension. So that's what progressive muscle relaxation does. And then the third one I mentioned was dragon breath. There's a lot of different names for it, and it's a yoga technique. There are so many amazing yoga breathing techniques, but this one is really powerful because what you do is you take a really deep breath in and then you through your nose, and then you loud exhale out through your mouth. This is so powerful because it really takes a full breath in. You're bringing so much oxygen to your brain, and then you're releasing out that heat or that stuck energy. So this one is just a really quick one. Even if you don't have 2 minutes and it's just like, you know what, I just need like 10 seconds, do that 3 times. And it allows kind of that stuck energy to move. So again, you're bringing new energy in, you're bringing new air and oxygen in, allowing your brain to function better. Super, super powerful things. And when you're listening to me talk about this stuff, you're probably like, okay, great. These are awesome tools. Do them and see how powerful they are, because these are the ways that you're going to shift out of that stuck emotion. Because I think a big misconception a lot of times for people is that to get out of a stuck or negative emotion that they don't want to feel is to shift into a positive emotion. And that can't quite happen, because we're often not in a place where we can actually create the happy and positive emotion we want within ourselves and our bodies if we're in a negative emotion. So you first have to kind of break that cycle, get out of that stuck emotion or that stuck or overwhelm, burnout, anxiety. You have to get out of that. And then you set the tone for moving into this new powerful place of where you can create what you want. So those are just some tips. Again, I'll put the MP3 where I actually go through this conscious breathing meditation and I lead you through all three. And it's really powerful to kind of have a coach bring you through this first, because the other thing too is when you shift the energy and you shift the breathing, a lot of things can shift and come up, right? Because we're moving around this stuck energy, but it's really, really powerful. The next thing I'm going to say about, again, how do we do this, right? So taking a step back, doing something like that is the first part. The next one is going to be identifying the thought and pattern that keeps repeating for you. So if you're, let's use stress, because I think that's one that's really, really common for a lot of people. We wear that as a badge of honor. And I mentioned that in the first episode too, of this idea of I'm so stressed is a badge of honor for us. It means like you're working hard or you're doing so many things. And that's not true at all. It may be true for you, but at the same time, like there doesn't need to be stress to be being successful and to be getting things done, because this work and grind and things is not always the only way. So you're going to identify the pattern and thought, which is I'm stressed. And then you're going to restructure it. And this is a huge and critical part, right? This is going into that cognitive behavioral therapy approach where you're identifying your thought and then you're restructuring the thought, because, and we're kind of skipping a step, but I don't think this step is sometimes as helpful for us. And also, if you don't have the education piece behind this, sometimes it's harder. The step in between this is going to be identifying the cognitive distortion. So what is the thought? Is it an overgeneralization, all or nothing thinking, black or white thinking? Like there's so many different things. And I think, you know, the point in using that piece in cognitive behavioral therapy is so we can see the pattern of what our thinking pattern is. I would say that sometimes identifying the thinking pattern isn't super helpful. It can be if you're really, you know, diving into a deep restructuring of so many different thoughts. But I think it's a lot easier for us to do, especially on the fly, like, you know, in our daily lives, and we're catching ourselves of like, oh, I'm so stressed out, to just catch the thought and then restructure it and move forward in the process. So that's what we're going to do here. So if you're saying I'm so stressed out with all the things I need to get done for work, I can't possibly do it. If that's the thought, restructuring that would look like what? Would look like I need to balance, or I am balancing, right? You can make it kind of into like a little bit of an affirmation. I don't love affirmations, but this will work with the emotion. Instead of I can't do it, right? It's going to be I have many tasks I need to do for work, and I am going to balance, or I need to balance how I approach them. Right? So then you took the stress completely out of it. So you're no longer telling your body, hey, let's release that stress hormone, because remember, I'm comfortable with stress. So I'm going to revert back to that. Now you went back to using a different word of balance. I need to balance. That may be a new neural pathway for you that your brain is saying, oh, balance. Okay. I don't know quite the emotion that goes along with it, but it's not stress, because I'm not feeling stress, or I'm not telling myself to feel stress. And then the next piece after we restructure this is choosing the emotion you want to feel and going within it. So remember in the first episode of the Abundance Alchemist podcast, we talked about self-care. And in that self-care, I mentioned imagery and how the brain does not differentiate between what's actually happening and imagining it. So in terms of the chemical release, right? So if I'm sitting on a beach and I'm feeling super joyful and happy, if I think about sitting on a beach and feeling super joyful and happy, or remember the time I did that, my body is going to have the same chemical reaction. My brain releases the same thing. It doesn't differentiate between the release of chemicals and the physical body makeup between if I'm doing it or I'm actually just thinking about it. So going back to that restructuring of the thought, you're going to want to choose the emotion that you want to feel and go within it. So if I'm thinking I need to balance all the tasks that I need to do for work, because I have a lot of tasks for work to do today, right? Then you're going to go into, okay, I know I need to get these done. I'm feeling stressed, but I don't want to feel stressed. So what do I want to feel? How do I want to get these tasks done feeling? Do I want to feel accomplished? Do I want to feel content? Do I want to feel peaceful? I'm going to go with peaceful because I think it's really an opposite of stress. When we're really like stressed out and anxious, we're not very peaceful. So my new process here would be to say, I have a lot to do. I have a lot of tasks to do for my job and I need to find balance to do it. And then I'm going to move forward and I want to feel peaceful. And I'm going to think of a time that I felt peaceful. I'm going to allow myself again to take that step back to feel peaceful. And then I'm going to move forward feeling peaceful into those tasks that I need to do. And you may say, okay, but how does this change? I still have to do all those tasks and now I'm losing time because I'm stepping back. We all know that when you take a step away, you actually come back and you're able to accomplish things better. You're able to get things done more. You're able to be more present. When you just try to grind, we don't show up fully in what we're trying to do. And then coming into this place with being peaceful, how you're going to interact in those things is going to be completely different, right? Think about someone you interact with when you're trying to get something done or you're having an interaction with somebody that's peaceful and calm versus someone that you can very visibly feel that they're stressed, right? We feel people's emotions. That's energy. Everything is energy, right? We feel it. And think about the difference when you engage with somebody like that. Crazy different. So you are going to go into things differently. You're going to bring peaceful energy into your task and into your interactions rather than stressed out energy. So this is really powerful, powerful tricks. And once you decide to move forward with that new thought and emotion, which does take a ton of practice, you'll feel this shift in how you're showing up, not only in that task, but also so many other places in your life. So I know I'm giving you a ton of information. I want to give you one more because I think that this really goes too with work. And it's really, really powerful because it helps us get back into, we talked a little bit about balance, or I was using the word balance, and it really made me think about kind of channeling this into this episode of the idea of changing your routine to balance your feminine and masculine energy. And I'm going to do an episode about what feminine and masculine energy is, but just for this little snippet, it's not what you traditionally think of in society. It has nothing to do with gender stereotypes or anything like that. It really has to do with to think of it in very basic terms. Feminine energy is intuition. Masculine energy is action. Okay. Those are going to be the simplest, like, super surface level, but works for what we're talking about. So if you change your routine of like going a different way to work or tackling a task differently or trying a new place to eat, it changes how you can show up because it changes the balance of the masculine and feminine energy within your body. Your feminine energy really likes creativity, right? That intuition piece. And so when you're in autopilot, you're really more in that masculine energy. So when we can really help balance the two as well, again, we're going to get out of this feeling of just being burnt out or stuck or overwhelmed because we're allowing for a more creative process and more intuitive process to come into play. So just keep that in mind and we'll dive into it a little bit deeper in a future episode, but try changing your routine too while implementing these different things. So lots and lots of information, but I love it because I'm going to give you guys all the information. Me withholding information does absolutely nobody any good. We're all meant to learn, right? And we can learn so many different things. So if you get one thing from this podcast episode, I have done more than my job, right? We have to help one person to make a huge difference. So this stuff matters because, like I said, we're creating a new neural pathway. We're challenging our brain to, which stimulates it. And that's what turns in turn helps us with personal growth. So let's take this one step further. When all of our thoughts and emotions match, the energy matches as well, which is really helping us actively create the life we desire through easily manifesting it. So when we are getting out of stuck emotions, we're restructuring thoughts, and then we're creating the emotions within us. We're changing up our routine, making the energy match and balance. Then we're in a place where we can come with new creativity, and we have space to enjoy and move towards manifesting what we want. We really do have the power to choose. This is what, like I said, if you take one thing away from this episode, think about having the power to choose. You have all the power in your life. And I know that, again, you can think about this in terms of like surrender and higher powers and all that different stuff. Absolutely. However, when it comes to thoughts and actions, we have to choose. We have to move forward. I have a lot of people tell me, you know, with clients, I ran into this the other day, that my higher power or God to them is their higher, was their higher power. This was a client struggling with addiction, said, God will save me. And I in turn came back and I said, God is absolutely a beautiful part of your recovery, because surrender is, can be a beautiful part of recovery. However, you still have to actively show up and choose in your life. God is not going to come down and hold your hand. You have to take the opportunities that he puts in front of you, right? We've all heard that story. I can't remember the exact story, but it's the idea of like, I don't even exactly remember, but something about there was, and it is more in like the Christianity Catholic space. There was a man that needed to go somewhere. I think it was like he was trying to go, and I'm totally going to butcher the story, but the principle will be the same, right? I'll just kind of make up the story, but I know there's a story out there like this. The man needed to go somewhere, and he really was like, God, I need your help. I need help getting wherever. And a man came by with a camel and he was like, hey, do you need a ride? And he's like, no, God will help me get to where I want to go. And the man left. And then he sees a man on the river, and the man in the boat says, hey, do you need help going to your destination? He goes, no, God will help me get to where I want. And there's one other form of transportation that comes and he says, no, God will get me to where I want. And then nothing else comes. And the man's like, God, what are you doing? I asked you for help. Why are you not helping me get to where I need to go? And God comes down and says something along the lines of, I gave you all these different ways that you could get there, and you chose or did not take any. And so I know I butchered the story like crazy, and if anybody knows this story, please let me know. But the principle is the same, right? That we have the power to choose. We have to choose, even if we are surrendering to our higher power. Every single thing is a choice, even to surrender or to listen to your higher power or to engage with your intuition or to ground yourself is a choice. So show up actively in your life, because we are amazingly strong beings, and let's use this to our advantage, right? You get to choose how you want to feel and create that. We don't have to stay in those feelings of overwhelm, anxiety, burnout, and so many more. We also, in turn, like I'm saying, choose our suffering. So we choose how to heal and we choose how to suffer. We choose to stay in those emotions. And if this episode is making you uncomfortable, my friend, good, right? That means that you're challenging the routine and thoughts. It means that you're starting to shift into taking responsibility. If I'm frustrating you, I am so happy that I am, because it means that you are showing up for yourself. You're stirring up some of the energy. You're stirring up some of those patterns. I'm evoking an emotion, right? Growth happens in discomfort. It can happen in the beauty and in the joy and the love too, but it also really happens when we get uncomfortable, right? Going back to that basic human psychology principle of, somebody does not change until the discomfort of not changing is more than the discomfort of changing. I don't know why I was able to say it so easily that time, but I was all tongue-tied last time, but that's all right. Whatever. Such is life. So it's time to grow and embody happiness, joy, love, and all of those amazing feelings we desire, because the choice is yours. So choose how you want to move forward. Use those skills we talked about. Try box breathing. Try progressive muscle relaxation. Try the dragon breath. Like I said, go grab that MP3 that walks you through it. It'll also explain in a little bit more detail why they're important. I definitely explained here, but it'll dive a little bit deeper. Change up your routine to balance that masculine and feminine energy, and really allow yourselves to restructure your thoughts and choose the emotion you want to step into. That is all I can say. I can't say enough that you have the choice, but you do, which is scary, but also incredibly powerful and exciting. All right, my friends, that is all the time we have today, but I love hearing from you guys. So please reach out and let me know anything you want to hear, anything you want me to dive deeper in, and then anything you may need. Also, please subscribe so that you are not missing anything. Rate us so that we know how we're doing, and head over and give us a review so that we can also encourage and reach more people, because that is how we all grow together. We are all connected. So thank you so much for listening, and I cannot wait to see you guys next time on the Abundance Alchemist Podcast. Bye, guys. Thank you for hanging out with me on the Abundance Alchemist Podcast. Don't forget to head over and grab your free self-love activation meditation at theabundancealchemist.com and hit subscribe here so you don't miss a thing. Until next time, sending you so much love.